and appreciate your testimony among the people of God, and appreciate the way that you're a blessing to the house of God and the people of God. While he comes tonight, extend your hand toward him and pray God's blessing and God's strength on his home and family and on that church in Fort Myers. God bless you, man. We love you.
You move mountains. Hey! You call walls to fall. I wonder if anybody's got that testimony. With your power, perform miracles. Anybody believe that tonight? There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you made. I need somebody that knows the only reason you're here is by the hand of God to lift those hands and declare tonight, you move mountains. You cause walls to fall. With your power, whoa, perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. Come on, lift your voice. And I'm standing here only because you made. I lift my hands in here only because you made. I'm standing free in here only because you made a way. Somebody that he made a way for, give him praise. If he's a way maker, give him praise. Come on, if he's a way maker, give him praise tonight. Yes! I don't know how, but he did it. I don't know how, but he did it. Wow, clap your hands and love him one more time tonight. Wow, my, just go ahead and praise him tonight. Just praise him. Just praise him. Just praise him. Wow. My. I can't tell you how many times this past year I've stood with my hands lifted and just said, you move mountains, call walls to fall. How many of you know there's nothing impossible for the God that you serve tonight? Come on, I mean, how many of you know that there is nothing impossible for the God that we served? I'm preaching to some people tonight that are facing some impossible situations. All God needs you to do tonight is throw your hand in the air and say, with men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Somebody that believes that, lift your hands and lift your voice one more time and give him praise. Yeah. Wow. Turn to somebody next to you. Tell them, I feel the Holy Ghost shaking in this place tonight. turn to somebody else and ask them, did you come to have church tonight? My God, I feel something breaking in this loose in this building tonight. I don't know about you, but I came expecting something miraculous from God tonight. I don't know about you, but I came anticipating a move of God in this building tonight. I want you to go with me to the book of John chapter 4 tonight. Book of John chapter 4 again. While you're turning there, let me say what a privilege and an honor it is to be here tonight. So honored to be here and invited to participate in the wonderful revival that God is sweeping over Birmingham, Alabama, and not just Birmingham, but across the state. Come on, do I got any believers in the building? Maybe even across the country. I got any believers in the building? Any world changers believe that God's going to use you to turn the world upside down tonight? Now, I'm telling you what, I've got a word from God for this house tonight. I hope somebody came ready to preach with the preacher. John chapter 4 and verse 35. He says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Book of Joshua chapter 3 and verse 15 says, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above and stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam that beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And for a few moments, I want to preach to this house tonight about the tipping point of revival. Would you just tell somebody next to you, we're at the tipping point of revival. Come on, push somebody that looks like they're falling asleep next to you and tell them we're at the pushing. If you believe it, clap your hands and give God some praise tonight. You may be seated. In the book of John chapter 4, there are 3 things in this text that God deals with. The first thing that he deals with is an unstated presence of an ideology of procrastination. He looks at them and he says, say not ye 4 months, and then comes the harvest. We have an easy time believing God for things as long as they're out in the future. One of these days, God's going to do this. And one of these days, this is going to happen. And one of these days, this is going to take place. And if we're not careful, the belief of everything being in front of us robs us of the understanding that the Bible says, now faith is There is an element of the faith of God that is a right now faith. Come on, somebody. A faith and an understanding that God's not just a God of your tomorrow, and he's not just God of your yesterday, but he's God of your right now. And Jesus looks at them and says, say ye not 4 months, and then comes the harvest. I feel like telling this church tonight, don't start saying that it's coming, that it's on its way, that it's about to happen. God sent this chubby preacher from Southwest Florida to tell you tonight, say ye not 4 months, and then comes the harvest. It's time to start changing our vernacular around here. It's time for us, oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. It's time for us to start changing our vernacular in this house to a right now understanding that God is moving right now, that he's here right now, that he's bringing it to pass right now. Quit saying next week. Quit saying next month. Quit saying next year. Say not 4 months and then the harvest. And then the second thing that he deals with in the text is he deals with their perception and their focus. He tells them, lift up your eyes and look unto the field. He said, I need you to be focused on the right thing. I need you to be focused on what's most important. Can I just tell this church what I feel in the Holy Ghost? God wants us to lift up our eyes in this house. It's easy to get going in a lot of directions while God is moving. But tonight God is telling us it's time to lift up our eyes and to look unto the field. Everything we do ought to be focused on the field. Everything we're involved in ought to be focused on the field. Don't get focused on politics. Don't get focused on economy. Don't get focused on your own life's ambitions. Don't even get focused too much on this beautiful building that God brought to you. But lift up your eyes and look unto the field. My God, I feel like telling New Life that it's time to get our eyes back on what God brought us here for. It's time to get our eyes laser focused on exactly what God is ready to do in this city. Don't say tomorrow. Lift up your eyes. I need you to be looking at the right thing, because when I first started learning how to ride a motorcycle, they said, look where you are going, because you're going to go where you're looking. Whatever captivates your attention is what all of your behavior will be aligned with. That's why they teach you when you play in sports, don't take your eye off of the ball. I'm telling this church, God's about to do something spectacular, and God just wanted to send a little reminder. Let's lift up our eyes and look unto the field. My God, lift up your eyes and start looking again at the opportunity. Lift up your eyes once again and start looking at what I called you to do. Lift up your eyes and get your focus back on what I've called you to do. Don't procrastinate. Get your eyes on the field. And the third thing he deals with is their lack of understanding or revelation of the season that they were in. Lift up your eyes and look unto the field, for it is white already unto harvest. Now, you never have to state something that is obvious unless somebody is not paying attention to what you need them to be looking at. And so he tells them, lift up your eyes onto the field, and I want you to recognize what the season is. You don't have to announce the obvious. I don't have to walk into a room and say, ba-ding, I'm a man. There's coming a day you might have to do some of that. But I don't have to state the obvious. It's obvious that I'm a man, but that tells us that they were standing in a season and they were not aware of the season that they were standing in. Can I tell you that it is possible for us to get involved in the work of God and to have our heads down trying to do the work of God and sometimes not even realize the season that we're standing in? He said, lift up your eyes. I want you to realize the season that you're standing in. He said the fields are white already under harvest. You know what it means when they said the fields were white already under harvest? It meant that the harvest had been ripe for so long that if they didn't move quickly, they were about to lose the crop. They were about to lose that season's opportunity. I came to preach to New Life tonight that you're standing in the middle of an opportunity that you've been praying for years. You're in the middle of an opportunity that you've been fasting about, you've been praying about, you've been preaching about, and God sent me to tell you, lift up your eyes and look at the field. It's harvest. I wish I could get about 200 more of you excited about the season that you're in tonight. I said it is harvest time. It's harvest time. It's revival time. My God, somebody ought to get excited. This is what we've been waiting for. This is what we've been praying for. This is what we've been believing God for. It's harvest time. New Life, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. Several years ago, I was traveling across the country with my family. I was headed to preach somewhere, Bishop. And my route to my destination led me through the great state of Kansas with all of its splendor and beauty. Now, if you've ever been through Kansas, you know I'm speaking tongue in cheek. Because Kansas is just flat fields as far as the eye can see. And I was driving through early in the morning. It was 1:30 or 2 in the morning. Everybody was asleep in the car. And I was driving. And while I'm on the road, it's just a two-lane highway. Two-lane highway. There's no street signs or street lights anywhere for miles and miles. The only light is the light coming from my headlights of my car. And on both sides of the road is nothing but cornfields for miles. And did I say miles? And miles and miles. And as I'm driving through, all of a sudden, this fog began to cloud the window. And so I put the windshield wipers on, and they seemed to be not making any difference. And within a matter of just, it seemed like moments, it went from, God bless you, it went from a little bit of clouds, cloudiness, to absolute zero visibility in moments. And I'm headed down the freeway in the middle of the night with no lights. And so I panicked because, you know, when you can't see and you're driving that fast down the road. And I slammed my brakes. And my wife said, What are you doing? I said, I don't know. I can't see. I don't know what this is. And you know, when you wake somebody up out of a dead sleep while you're driving, you ever done that before? You do that to my wife, she's like, finish him. I'm ducking and dodging. You scared me to death. I said, I don't know what it is. I can't see nothing. I thought I was going to wreck. And I'm in the middle of the freeway, the highway. And all of a sudden, the moment this is happening, off to the side, I see a bright light. I look over, and the bright light starts getting bigger. And then all of a sudden, I hear the sound. And I thought, oh my God, it's an alien attack. And the light within moments got brighter and brighter, and the sound is getting brighter, and the light's coming. And I don't know what to do. I can't see. I'm afraid to get out of the car. What are we going to do? And all of a sudden, at the last moment, the light turned. And the sound started to get quiet. I thought, whew, the aliens changed their mind. And when I thought it was safe, I jumped out of my car. And I'm trying to see through all of the dust. It was dust. And I looked over across, and all of a sudden I could make out what it was. It was a big old farm combine in the middle of the night, 1:30 in the morning, out there on a I said, what are these idiots doing at 1:30 in the morning out in the middle of a field in the dark? The next day I got to my destination and I mentioned it to somebody that's from Kansas. I said, man, the craziest thing happened. I was driving. I said, man, they could have got somebody. They could have got a brother killed up in here. I was in danger from my wife. Didn't know if I was being attacked. I said, that's crazy. He said, oh no, that's what they do. He said, you don't understand. When it is harvest time, they have an understanding that when the harvest is ready, you only have a short window in which to gather the harvest. And if you don't gather it in time, you'll lose the entire crop. He said, when they understand that, they work around the clock 24/7 because they understand that everything else is secondary to the importance of the harvest. Can I just tell New Life tonight that it's time to get ready for a harvest season. It's time to get ready to get revival back at the top of your priorities. Oh, I'm preaching to you tonight. God's ready for us to set some things on the back burner, put some things to the side, because it is harvest time. My God, I'm telling you, some of you, God is calling you to put away some of your hobbies for a little while. Uh-oh, it's going to get quiet. God's calling some of us to get rid of some of the distractions and some of the things that might keep us from God using us the way he wants to, because it is harvest time. And when it's harvest time, you got to be ready to work 24/7. You got to be on call 365, ready to collect in the season that God has sent. I'm gonna tell you what I felt on my way to church. When I say David, word association game, David is known as a giant killer. That's how you almost can't say David without saying David and Goliath. That David, he was known for his ability to kill giants. And there wasn't a giant in the land that David couldn't take care of. He killed giant after giant, and for a long time, he was the only giant killer. You got a giant problem? You better call King David, because he's the only one that has what it takes to kill that giant. You need a giant killed? You better call. You need somebody to pray healing? You better go get Pastor Sutton. You need a miracle? You better go grab King David, because he's the only one that can do this thing. And so David, for quite a while, he was the giant killer. Exclusive, extraordinaire. He is the giant killer. And the Bible said that one day, David got tangled up with a big old giant. Where's the biggest guy in the building? Where's he at? Who? Come on. You know who you are. So does everybody else. Quit trying to hide it. No, no, no. Come on, Spanky, sit down. It's got to be this brother right here or that brother over there. Come help me, brother. Come on. Quick as you can. He's big enough. Whoa. Walk slow like a big giant. Come on. Big giant. Yeah. Oh, fee, fi, fo, fum. He got entangled with a giant. And the Bible said that they started going at it. Now, don't hurt your man of God. But I want you to just, just tie up with him a little bit, Don't hurt him. Don't hurt him. It's all right. Now, everybody knew David was a giant killer. But the Bible said that this giant got the best of him. Yeah, you can just sit down right there, kind of like half passed out. Yeah, that's good. And you're here, you kind of got your hand around his throat. Yeah. And the Bible said that there was some of David's men that looked over, and when they saw it, they thought that David had been killed. The giant had almost snuffed David out. And in that moment, those men understood, I've never faced a giant before. I've never done this before. But bless God, he's got a hold of our man of God. And I can't sit here while he takes out my man of God. And so one of them brothers, you help me out, jumped up on his feet. You got to take your coat off and get ready. Rolled up his sleeves, and he said, I'm about to go handle some business. And he ran over there, and he grabbed that giant, and he took him out. All the way. Yeah. And then he ran over and he said, oh, David, he killed you. They killed David. And then David opened one eye. They thought he died. You want to know what the name of that giant was? His name was Ishbi-Benob. But what's more important is if you look up the meaning of Ishbi-Benob, it literally means to sit back and do nothing. Your pastor can kill every giant by himself if he has to. But there is one giant that will kill your man of God. and that is the giant of sit back and do nothing. If that giant ever gets loose in the church, it's a giant that'll kill your man of God. If Ishbi Benob is going to be killed, somebody else has to kill Ishbi Benob. Can I just tell you that for a long time, your pastor has been teaching Bible study after Bible study after Bible study, and thank God he's still here and he's still doing it. But it's time for some people to grab a hold of a revelation. Come on, I said it's harvest time. God cannot afford for a single person in this church to sit back and do nothing. We have to come against a posture that wants us to relax. We have to declare war on the posture that wants us to lay back and do nothing. Let somebody else teach a Bible study. Let somebody else win a soul. Let somebody else lead a department. Let somebody else work. I need some people in this building tonight that will lift your voice and declare war on Ishbi Benob. Come on, New Life. It's time to declare war on the spirit of Ishbi Benob. Come on, New Life. It's time to declare war on the spirit of sit back. Come on. Come on. I need some people that'll shout until it gets uncomfortable for some people to just sit there. I need some people that'll shout until it becomes uncomfortable for some people to sit back. It's time for this church to realize it's harvest time. God's called us. We can't sit back. We can't relax. It's not time to... Come on, it's time to war against the spirit of Ishbi Benob. That's why we got to be careful when we come to the house of God. Because there's a spirit of Ishbi Benob that wants us to lay back, wants us to sit back, wants us to relax, wants us to take it easy, wants us to just enjoy what somebody else has worked hard to bring down, wants us to enjoy the anointing and the glory that somebody else has given the sacrifice of praise for. But I'm telling you, death to Ishbi Benob tonight. It's time for this church to stand up and rise on your feet and let hell know my man of God is not standing by himself. He helped us get where we are, but God is calling this church to start caring. Tell your neighbor it's revival time. I'm going to tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. If you're a young man here and your pastor has recognized the call of God on your life in the ministry, teaching Bible studies, leading, if you know he's recognized, I want you to just come stand all across the front here. I want you to help me lead in the response of this service. Come on. Come on, hurry. Hurry, men. I need you in a posture of warfare tonight. Reba katalabohu shata yalabaha. My God, Irobora Katalamahashaya. My God, I feel something right now. Reba Shatalabokosha. My God, I want to keep going, but I feel the Holy Ghost pushing me right here. Come on. There's some young men God is about to anoint you with a mantle from your pastor. There's some young men God is about to take and give you a double portion. This isn't nothing. What you've seen happen up till now is the result of a mantle. But what God is about to do is a double portion in this city. See, if I had some Elishas, they'd be on it right now. If I had some Elishas, they'd be responding right now. Give me that double portion. Give me that. God, I'm ready. God, here I am. God, I'm available. When they get, I'm shifting gears. When they get to the Jordan River and they're ready to cross over, there is something that exists in the text that I do not believe is there by accident. The Bible said that it was harvest time. And coinciding at the same time as harvest time, the Bible says that Jordan overfloweth all her banks all the time at harvest time. It's not a coincidence that when we move to that paradigm of harvest, that there is something, and I don't have time to qualify all of the typology of the River Jordan. Suffice to say that when they got ready to cross over, the Jordan River told them, you can't have it. At least you can't have it right now. You might as well turn around and go back. You're not crossing over now. You're not going to get across today. Jordan, every time it was harvest time, the resistance would be the greatest. Every time they came to a new moment of a paradigm shift, the pressure was the greatest. And so they come to the River Jordan. And they're facing an overflow, and the word of God comes to Joshua. And here's what he tells Joshua. He says, you tell them that when they come to that river, I've got instructions for them, because he knew their proclivity and their propensity would be to turn around and say, well, maybe later, maybe another time, maybe we'll try again next week, maybe we'll try again next month. But if you ever get in the habit of letting resistance tell you no, it'll take advantage of you every time. Somewhere you gotta make a stand against the resistance and let that thing know it's time to go over. You see, I don't know how many times they had been to this place before and looked out across and said, look at there. There's that promise that God told us about. Over in that land is rivers that flow with milk and honey. Over in that land are houses we didn't have to build. There's vineyards that we didn't have to plant. Oh, one of these days we're going over into that land. And they were believing God. I don't know how many times they came up to that place and that river told them, no, not here, not now. But something happened. And this time when they came to the river, they made up in their mind, this time we are going over. I'm telling New Life tonight, we're up against the pressure of a new paradigm of revival in this church. And here is the pressure. Here is the temptation when we get to these moments, is we look back at all that God has done. And it's easy to just say, well, let's just rejoice in everything behind us. Let's just rejoice over all that God has done. And thank God for everything he's done. Amen. How many of you are grateful for every miracle? How many of you are grateful for every way that he made? How many of you are grateful for every door that he's opened? But if you're not careful, good can be the enemy of great. What's behind you does not compare with what's in front of you. God, I feel like telling New Life, if you think what you've experienced is something, you just wait until we cross over to the next. See, I wish I had 100 radical people that were excited tonight, that understood what was on the other side of the paradigm. What's on the other side of this river? What's on the other side of this resistance? What's on the other side of this thing? God didn't give you this building without plans for it to be full. And I come against every devil that wants to tell you, well, it took us this long to get here. Maybe in another 5 years, maybe in another 10 years, we'll get this thing filled up. I curse that in the name of Jesus. What God is doing in this last day, he said, get your eyes on the harvest. It's white. If you'll focus on the season, you'll... God's about to fill this place up tonight. I said God is about to fill this place up. I wonder if I got anybody that can see it. I wonder if I got anybody that can see it. Can you see the balcony full? Can you see the ushers trying to find room? Can you see the police department trying to figure out the traffic flow? Come on, somebody. God's about to blow your mind. On one side of the Jordan, it was a lot of work. There was a lot of things that had to take place. But when they made that shift into the next paradigm, God steps in and God took their work and began to multiply and said it's going to happen by the miraculous hand of God. This building is just one little taste of what God's about to do. This building is just a little taste of what God is breaking loose. All God needs is for New Life to get a fresh vision tonight. All God needs is for New Life to get a fresh awakening tonight. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Right at this moment, when the pressure is so easy to just say, man, we worked so hard to get here. We struggled so much. It was so much work. Let's just chill for a while. Can I be real? Ain't nobody feel that way but me before, huh? I'm all by myself. I know what I'm talking about because almost the same time you moved in this building, we worked and sweated and toiled and believed God and tried to get into the building that we're in tonight. And if you're not careful, the effort and the energy and all of the things it took to get you to this place, when you find that resistance of that paradigm, it's easy to look backward and say, well, let's just enjoy where we are. But the will of God was never for you to get to this place and stand still. The will of God was for you to get to this place and accelerate. I'm preaching the New Life. It's a season for acceleration. It's a season for acceleration. God's going to use you to do more. God's going to use you to do greater. God's going to... this moment, God said, I'm going to send a word to them. Because when they get to that overflowing Jordan that tells them not now, they're going to be tempted to just stand there and keep on wishing. To stand there and keep saying one of these days. They're going to be tempted to say, well, must just not be God's timing yet. They're going to be tempted to justify. He said, but I've got a word, Joshua. You tell them that when they get to that river, they've got the ark, they've got the priest, they've got everything. The entire history of this nation has come to this one pivotal moment, and it is this one threshold that separates them from where they are to the promise that God said they would have. He said, you tell them when they come to that spot, you tell those priests to put their foot into that water. You tell them to put their foot on something that says you can't stand on me. You tell them to put their foot in something that says you're not supposed to walk here. You're not supposed to be able to cross right now. You tell them to get a defiance in their spirit against that resistance. And the moment, you read it when you get home, he said the moment that the soul of the priest touches down into that water, he said, I'm going to jump in the middle and I'm going to let a supernatural thing begin to happen. I'm just telling New Life tonight that God led us to this service. I believe that tonight is a paradigm shift in the Holy Ghost for New Life. God wants to know if this church is ready to put your foot into the impossible. Put your foot into something that tells you not now. Put your come on. It was the tipping point of revival. It was the tipping point of promise. At that moment, you can come all the way to this point, but if you don't have enough faith to step in, you can turn around and walk away from the potential of the next paradigm. He said, but I got to have a people that'll step into an overflowing Jordan and say, we're going over. That moment became the tipping point. I'm telling this church tonight, God's about to challenge us. Because I'm telling you something. I'm not in here saying next week, next month, next year. Tonight's the night. I said tonight's the night. Come on, tonight is the night. Come on, New Life. I want to keep preaching, but I can only keep preaching if I've got people that are ready to step in this thing tonight. Band, I want you to get ready to help me. Band, just get ready. I'm going to tell you what the Word says. Here's what the Word of God said. It said that in one place that the Word of God was made of no effect unto them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The key to the Word of God spawning the miraculous is going to be you mixing your faith tonight with the Word of God that is coming forth. Somewhere somebody's got to grab this Word tonight and grab a hold of your faith and say, all right, let's go. All right, let's go. All right, come on. We're at the tipping point. It's time to go over. It's time. I wonder if anybody would let your man of God know we're with you. Pastor, we're with you. Let's go over. Let's move. I wonder if anybody would rise to your feet and let your man of God, let Joshua know. Let's go, Joshua. Come on, Joshua. I know we just got in the building, but let's go. Come on, Joshua. I know we're with you. Let's step in. Let's go over. Let's take the territory. When resistance comes, I'm going to tell you, all today I've been praying and saying, all right, God, I feel like there's something trying to press against this people. I feel like there's something trying to resist them. I feel like there's something trying. God said, of course, anytime you take new territory, the devil hates it. The devil's going to push back. Did you think you could just move on the top of a hill, on the freeway, into a building like this, and the devil was just going to lay down? You stirred up some devils, new life. You stirred up the spirit kingdom that laid claim to this place. And when you showed up and started moving in, the devil said, oh no, not now. Oh no, not here. But God said, I need a people that'll let hell know we came to take over, and we're not backing up, and we're not slowing down, and we're not giving in. It's time to go over. It's time to go over. There's only one way to get through resistance. You got to press your way through it. Come on, new life. I said there's only one way to get through the resistance. You got to put your shoulder down and make up in your mind, we're going to walk right through it. Yeah. Years ago, some engineers decided that they were going to build the fastest airplane that had ever been built. And so they built the plane, and they would send up a pilot in the plane. And the story goes that these pilots would begin to push on the throttle. And when they got to a certain point, pushing that throttle, the plane would begin to shake, and the plane would begin to quiver as they pushed up against a new paradigm of speed. And as that thing began to shake, they had a natural tendency to just lay back. They would start shouting in their microphone, buffeting, buffeting. I'm going to slow it back down. And they try to slow the plane back down. Most of them would end up crash landing the plane, because every time they tried to break that speed record, something was pushing against them. Every time they tried to push past that paradigm, something was resisting them. But one day, I think it was 1947, a young pilot walked out on the field strip, got in that airplane, and he said, I made up my mind before I got in the airplane that I was going to push past the resistance, even if it meant me losing my life. I would not back up. And a man by the name of Chuck Yeager jumped in that airplane and took off and started pushing on the throttle. And all of a sudden, the plane started shaking and the plane started quaking. And everybody else would have let go. But Chuck Yeager grabbed that throttle and he pushed it forward. And he said, if I die, I die. But I'm about to cross. I'm telling new life, God is looking for a church tonight that says, come on, tonight is the night we're breaking through. Tonight is the night we're going on. All right, I'm almost done. I'm preaching about the tipping point of revival. I'm going to show you what this looks like. Come here, brother. You a good, tall drink of water. Sit in that chair for me. Actually, you might be the wrong guy. Come on, Spanky. Come on, Mr. Big. Go ahead. Your feet touch. He's good. Every kid, when they go to school and they sit down in the chair, the first thing they want to do is what? Tip back in that chair. Why? Because it's cool. See, he can't go too far. That's why I picked him. And the teacher has to look at him and say, hey, stop doing that. Why does the teacher tell him that? Because if they keep tipping, they're going to fall back. Because there is what is known as a tipping point. You see, from this position to this position, there's a lot of effort and work that goes in to pushing a big guy like this. And you push, but and you push, and the more you push, the greater the resistance is. The closer you get to the tipping point, the harder it is to push. I wish somebody was hearing me. The closer you get to that breakthrough, the harder it is to push, the more effort. But there comes a moment. There comes a moment where all of the sudden, all of the effort, all of the energy, all of the work brings you to a place that all God needs is for somebody to just take that one more step, push that one extra little bit. I'm telling this church, you're at the tipping point of revival tonight. Come on. All God needs is for us to push tonight. All God needs is for us to press. Hold on. Rebasha. I tell you what we're about to do. We're about to have church in this building like we ain't had church in here yet since we moved in. If you're a part of this church, I want you to jump out of your seat and get down to this altar right now. Come on. Come on. If you're part of this church, jump out of your seat. Get as close as you can. Pack them on in. Get as close as you can. Come on. They're coming. They're coming. Come on, keep coming. Get all the way in here. In this altar tonight is represented years of praying. In this altar is represented years of labor in the field. In this altar is represented years of pressing and pushing and working. But tonight, God said, I'm about to cause a tipping point. Tonight, I'm about to take new life into a new dimension. Where's my brother? Come here. Come on. Hold on. Go ahead. Hold on. Hold on to me. Here's where we're at tonight, new life. And the river's telling you, not here, not now. The resistance is telling you, not this night. This is too hard of a push. Not tonight. You're too tired. Not tonight. You got to get up early in the morning. Not tonight. You got too many things on your mind. Not tonight. But I wonder if there's anybody that made up your mind tonight. We're going over. I tell you what we're about to do. On the count of three, I need every person in this building. My God, let me give you this. I'm almost done. Stay there. Malcolm Gladwell, who's an acclaimed journalist, wrote a book called The Tipping Point. And in his book, he said there are three major things that define a tipping point. I don't have time to cover them all, but let me give you just a couple. Number one, he said that a tipping point is the moment when you reach a place where the change or the potential of change becomes inevitable. It's when you cross over that fulcrum point and there's no turning back. See, as long as we're right here, we could make a little move, right? Go ahead and bounce forward. Make a little move to try to regain yourself. Right there, just a little move. But when you hit the tipping point, all of a sudden, there comes a moment where the potential for a tip is over, and there's nothing you can do about it. Telling new life, that's where you're at tonight. All we gotta do is push. All we gotta do is press. All we gotta do, somebody, one, two, three, yeah, go. Somebody shout. Somebody shout. Somebody press. Revival time.
I'm on the battlefield.
Brother,
I'm on the battlefield.
Sister, grab somebody next to you. Tell them, come on, we're going over. Tell them, we're going over.
I'm on the battlefield.
Another brother next to you. Tell him, come on. We're going over. Come on. You're crossing over. Come on. We're breaking through.
I'm on the battlefield. I'm on the battlefield. I'm on the battlefield. I'm on the battlefield.
Somebody press. Somebody press. Somebody press. We're going over tonight. 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 Tonight.
I'm ready for the battle.
your way. Press your way.
I'm on the battlefield.
Come on, let me hear you. Go, new life. Lift your voice. Step in. God said, step in. God said, step in. Not next week. Not next month. Not next year. Tonight is the night. Come on, there's a breakthrough rocking this place right now. Come on, there's people breaking through all over this place. Go, go, right here, right now, right here. Yeah! Holy Ghost time. It's harvest time. It's a new season. It's a new season.
Step in on the battlefield.
Shake yourself. Shake yourself loose. Shake yourself loose.
Shake yourself. I'm on the battlefield.
It's time to kill Ishbibenob. It's time to kill the spirit of Ishbibenob. We're not laying back. We're not waiting. We're crossing.
I'm on the battlefield.
Yeah. I'm on the battlefield.
Breakthroughs
happening all over. Go! Go! Go!
Battlefield.
Do it, y'all.
I'm on the battlefield.
It's time to cross over.
I'm on the battlefield fighting for the Lord. I'm on the battlefield.
I'm on the battlefield fighting for the Lord.
I'm on the battlefield.
I'm on the battlefield fighting for the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm on the battlefield fighting for the Lord.
I'm on the battlefield.
I'm on the battlefield fighting for the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm on the battlefield fighting for the Lord.
Come on. Come on. It's time to surrender to the harvest. Here I am, God. Make me. Here I am, God. Mold me. Here I am, God.
I'm on the battlefield fighting for the Lord.
Somebody say it.
I'm on the battlefield fighting for the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm on the battlefield fighting for the Lord.
I'm on the battlefield.
Somebody ran back and open your mouth. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, new life.
You can't
push.
Have my breakthrough.
Come on, new life. It's time to press.
You can't have. You can't have. You can't.